Hey, Todd Feinberg, welcome to After Six. Normally on Fridays, we just roll the Michael Harrison hour that we do first hour on Fridays. But given that the Patriots are about to win a Super Bowl, it seems appropriate to chat with a guy named Ian O'Connor. He's got a new book out called Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. So we'll talk with him now, and after that, we'll replay some of the first hour with Michael Harrison after the bottom of the hour news. So right now, we'll do the interview, and we'll celebrate in advance a little bit the Super Bowl right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. Ian O'Connor joins us now on After Six. He, the author of a book called Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. Ian, welcome to WTIC.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
This thing is nicely timed, this book. You got it out before the run to another Super Bowl. What is your feeling about Bill Belichick right now? It's been a long time he's been doing this. He looks a lot like the greatest of all time. As a matter of fact, I was thinking before we connected that if you compare all the hype about Tom Brady being the best of all time, which he could be, but there's something about the hypiness of everybody saying it. It's almost like they're insisting that he has to be the greatest of all time. They call him GOAT so often, I feel like it's a wall they're building up of denial that anybody else could compete. But I feel like in Brady's case, there's competition, and in Belichick's case, there's not.
I agree, Todd, in Belichick. In fact, I went to the high school in New Jersey, Englewood, New Jersey, where Vince Lombardi coached, St. Cecilia's. And so it's hard for me to put anybody ahead of Lombardi. But I just think Belichick has, just given his body of work, over 12 Super Bowls as a coach, 3 as an assistant, 9 as a head coach, is just remarkable. And when you think about today's NFL, unlike Lombardi's NFL, really everything is designed to prevent you from dominating the way he has. When you talk about the schedule, the salary cap, the draft, free agency, it's all designed to drag you back to the middle and not allow you to keep teams together. And somehow he's raised against that successfully since 2001. So just given the body of work over the period of time, now maybe if Lombardi had lived longer, we'd be having a different discussion. But I think Belichick, no question. In fact, you could argue he's the greatest head coach in the history of American team sports. And when you compare him to the college greats, whether it's Gino Auriemma or John Wooden or Nick Saban, every year they're recruiting the best players in the country. Bill, when he wins, he's punished, and he picks in the draft from the bottom of the barrel. So for him to do this for this long, I think puts him at the top.
It would seem to me, I'll just take a shot here. I'm not a huge football fan, but I love the Patriots, and I watch every game every year. And I look at him, and I think, this guy's brilliant because he doesn't get confused about what the mission is. He looks at what the rules are and what the parameters of coaching are, which you've alluded to, the structural denial of dominance, and he figures out how to outsmart those rules, how to be better than everybody else given those parameters. Are you on the same wavelength with me? Am I sounding even vaguely like I know what I'm talking about?
No, absolutely, Todd. I think you're right, and I think the other thing that really separates him from everyone else, obviously, he needed the special player as the centerpiece of his program, but every great historic coach has needed that, right? Whether it was Red Auerbach with Bill Russell and John Wooden with Al Cinder and Bill Walton and on and on and on. So I don't subtract that from his legacy, but I think finding marginal players with other teams who did next to nothing with those teams and turning them, if not into stars, into many stars or very significant contributors. Rex Burkhead, most of America had never heard of him when he was with Cincinnati. Now he's scoring the 2 most important touchdowns of the season to send his team to the Super Bowl. Bill Belichick's career has been defined by 1,000 Rex Burkheads. And so I think that really probably above everything else, because his college drafts have been hit or miss, some good, some bad, some in between. But finding those players in veteran free agency and cast-offs and turning them into Chris Hogan, a lacrosse player in college, and he's a productive receiver, that is really, to me, what defines him as a head coach.
And what is that thing? It seems to me that the machine aspect of Belichick is that he's got everything so clearly defined. Your job is to do this, that he can go searching for guys who can perform that job. So the general intellectual approach to judging a player is, what has his overall performance been through the years? And Belichick might look at him and say, well, I don't care about his overall performance. I care about how he can do these specific tasks that I need him for.
He's so big, Todd, on not asking people to do things they can't physically do. And so in the draft, he's looking for people. He sees the holes in his roster, and he's looking to fill those holes. And he does ask his coaches and scouts to look at a prospect and say, is this person better than who we have right now at that position? And if so, we're going to make that change, and we'll draft him and get rid of the other guy. And as you know, he has a long history of moving out even the most decorated Patriots a year early rather than a year late. As soon as you're making a dollar against salary cap more than he believes you're worth, you're done, even if you help me win two or three championships. So Tom Brady was on deck to be that next decorated Patriot to go. The problem there was Brady outperformed the system. He outplayed the Belichick software. That wasn't in the software for a player his age to perform at the highest possible level. And so therefore, Brady really forced the organization to trade a much younger successor. And it's one of the greatest achievements to me of Brady's career beyond the five rings is the fact that he was able to beat the system, the Belichick system that was really designed to move him out.
We're talking to Ian O'Connor, author of Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. And I love what you just said, Ian, because you brought technology into it, software, and you essentially described Tom Brady as artificial intelligence that's outsmarted his own designers because he's self-learning. Every time I hear, if I'm sitting around the living room with my wife and we're listening to the news, for example, leading up to the Super Bowl, and she's saying, oh, Tom, listen to Tom. He's so brilliant what he says. And what I hear him saying is exactly what he's been taught by Bill Belichick to say.
Yeah, that's true. And it does sometimes feel like and sound like they're programmed. But Brady and Belichick, that relationship is very interesting because it's been a transactional partnership without much love and affection over the years. And it's been the best partnership in the history of the league. Really, without that love and affection, when Brady needed a transformational partnership, he found it in Robert Kraft. They were really good friends. It's almost like a father-son type of situation. They live right next to each other. At times, particularly last year, maybe it felt a little bit like Tom and Robert versus Bill. But they overcame that, the one moment in time last year where the relationship went off the rails a little bit, and they are back.
Did that actually happen? Is that real?
It is real, yeah. No question. And I wrote in my book that I had sources telling me that as late March, Brady was thinking of walking away rather than playing for Belichick another season. Now, deep down, do I think he knew if he did that, that the fan base might actually turn on him because he did compel the organization through his play to trade Garoppolo. He did speak publicly about playing until age 45, and if he hadn't done that, I don't think Bill would have made that trade. So if you're saying 45, and they trade Garoppolo, and then you retire at 40 or 41, I think the fans would have been rather upset about that. So I think deep down he knew he couldn't. But he's the only starting quarterback in the NFL who did not attend OTAs. He was sending a direct message to his head coach. And my understanding is Belichick did back off him a little bit this year. And to me, I'm not a body language expert, Tom Brady has looked happier, particularly down here in Atlanta. The whole team looks happier and than they did last year. They look lighter, happier, having more fun. And
well, that may have something to do with the fact that six weeks ago this might have been hard to imagine.
Yeah, I was in Pittsburgh, so they had the back-to-back losses. I wrote a column that night for ESPN.com saying don't bury these guys just yet because it's still Belichick and Brady, and they had the Jets and Bills at home. They were going to win those games to go to 11-5. I figured Houston might lose at Philly, which they did, to give Patriots back the second seed. And so you have a bye. You're going to win your home playoff game because you're undefeated at home, and then you just have to find a way to beat Kansas City in that building. And they did. So in that context, in the final words in my book on page 455, though my history of Patriots predictions is not a very good one, I said that Bill had earned the benefit of the doubt with all the relentless winning he'd done over the years that he would fix his relationships with Brady, Gronk, and the fan base after the Malcolm Butler benching, and that he would get this team back and more likely than not win a sixth ring. So if nothing else, at least I got that one right.
Well, this is the interesting thing, I think, about Tom Brady and what makes him such an extraordinary player and also an extraordinary human being. You know, at times you hear Brady talk and you think, this is an ordinary man. And then the next sentence, he says something that's just uncanny in terms of its human depth and insight. And I think his understanding of confining aspects of your personality in terms of, in order to achieve great things, that he's an expert at that. And ultimately, all of them had to come back together because they'd be throwing too much away if they allowed interpersonal conflict and style differences to destroy such a beneficial relationship.
Yeah, Todd, and Tom Brady is the ultimate team-centric franchise player, just given some of the discounts he's taken over the years. Now, it is a little easier when your wife is a supermodel and the highest paid one in the world, but still, he's rarely insisted on being what he is, or what he should be, the highest paid player in the NFL. And that's helped the Patriots put some pieces around him that they needed to continue winning. And I always thought the Chicago Bulls dynasty that won six championships, Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, broke up one or two titles too soon because they all played and coached after that. And that shouldn't have happened. And so I agree with you. If the Patriots, if this dissolved somehow, it would have been a shame because we're never in our lifetimes going to see this again. I think it's time for America outside of New England to maybe let go of the hate and just being tired of seeing the Patriots. And if they win Sunday night, I might write this in my column. It's just time to let all that go and just understand how special this was to see this. And we're never going to see it again. And I think Tom Brady being willing to be a team-centric guy in every literal and figurative way has been a big part of that.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point because if you're living through an era with a human being who rises to greatness in his craft and dominates it the way these guys do, you know, if you could have rooted against Muhammad Ali on every fight, but at the end of his career, you have to say, wow, what a privilege to have been able to be part of this in some way and to then tell your kids and grandchildren about it. And these Patriots are that. Have you, tell us about the work you did to write the book. We're talking with Ian O'Connor. His book is Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. How much personal contact do you have with him? Have you done sit-downs or is this from sort of a distance that you've been doing your observing?
Right. I tried to secure a sit-down with Belichick through his reps, his agent, the PR people, Bears Najarian, who basically is his chief of staff and has been forever there in New England, and he declined. And I sent him an email directly. He did respond to it and declined. It was polite. And so there are a couple things there. I interviewed 350-plus people for the book. And so in some ways, the obstacles he put in front of me, because he also reached out and asked some others close to him not to talk publicly about him.
Really?
For the book. Yeah. And so he put some obstacles in front of me. And that's fine. When I signed up for the project 3 years ago, I figured that would happen to some extent. But it made me better. He puts obstacles in front of his players to make them better.
And I think, so you were coached by Belichick.
In a sense, I felt like, well, he's made this challenge even greater than I thought it would be or as great as I thought it would be. And I had to dig deeper. I had to mine as many sources as possible. That's why I talked to 350-plus people.
Who told you something that you that was surprising?
Well, a number of his friends and associates, the gap between workplace Bill and human Bill is wider than I thought. It's just away from the facility and the stadium and his press conferences. He's just it's a Jekyll and Hyde routine. He created this one-dimensional character he plays in his press conferences that most of America knows him as. And away from football, he can be kind and warm and charming in social settings, very loyal and supportive to college teammates and classmates. And if you know, whether it be his college coach, he had a college coach, Terry Jackson was his lacrosse coach, and contacted Bill during the season when they beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl 04. And said his wife was dying of cancer on her bucket list was to go to a Super Bowl. So Bill made that happen, spent so much time with her, and then tragically she did die a few months later. And Terry Jackson told me, you know, what a gesture, and it's something that would stay with him the rest of his life, and that's how Bill is. And I know some of his friends and associates are frustrated that Bill won't show his human side more in public. But at age 66, if he hasn't done it yet, I don't think he's going to start doing it.
Yeah, well, why should he? He's found a formula that works, right?
Yeah, he did tell a joke the other day. He was asked in a press conference, will you ever write your own book? And he started giving an answer about, well, I'm just focused on the Rams. And then he stopped and he said, would you buy one? And then the room cracked up, and the guy said, yes. Yeah, and Bill even laughed. So that was a small window on his soul, the more human side of his soul, that he just won't show for public consumption very often.
So you mentioned Vince Lombardi and other coaches in history and comparing Belichick to them, but how about right now? Because we've seen teams and coaches try to replicate the sort of intellectual dominance over the game that Bill has. Is there anybody who's in the running here in your mind?
In football or in sports in general?
Yeah, well, either way you want to take it, I'm more intrigued with the football, but whatever strikes you, because
I think you could make a case. Bill would make a case with Paul Brown and of course his father, Steve Belichick, was close with Paul Brown, and Bill was influenced by him. And Paul Brown's like the founding father of everything in the modern NFL. And he was really one of the first coaches who also embraced African-American players, which might be his most important contribution to the sport. You can make a case for even Joe Gibbs, who's never really in the conversation. He won 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks, none in the Hall of Fame. That's pretty
unusual.
Yeah. Don Shula, of course, but he only has the 2 rings. Regular season wins, he's at the top of the mountain. But I just think Bill, really, is there somebody there right neck and neck with Belichick outside of maybe Lombardi? I would say no. I just think he's done it for too long at such a high level, and he was so important to the Giants to Super Bowl championships under Parcells that you have to give him some credit for that, too. When you add it all up, the Cleveland failure, I think, becomes a speed bump and nothing more than that on his road to greatness. So I really don't think there's a close second right now to Bill.
All right, so the book is the result of coaching from Bill Belichick. It's called Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. Ian O'Connor, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. And do you have a prediction for Sunday?
Well, thank you, Todd. I'll go 34-30 Patriots. I think a relatively high-scoring game, but I can't see these guys losing 2 Super Bowls in a row.
All right, great to talk with you. We look forward to the next book so we can talk to you again.
Thanks so much, Todd. Take care.
Okay, that's Ian O'Connor, author of Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time.